meeting for Wednesday, April 28th at 6 o'clock. We'll establish a quorum.
City Recorder Luana Danabell.
Councilor Don Brainer.
Councilor Del McAfee.
Councilor Barbara Hedges.
Administrative Assistant Patty Morgan.
Okay, a quorum has been established. We'll have a Pledge of Allegiance. So Marsha, do you want to head the Pledge of Allegiance?
It's been a long time since I've said it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What's your last name?
Okay, will there be any added agenda items? Okay, we have one, for 12A, the liquor license application for a special event on May 18th for Wiki Up Station and Vicks. And is this other agenda item going to be? Okay, so then that will be the one.
Here, so.
Okay. So I have a couple of agenda items. 12B would be Legislative Day. And 12C would be a Tiger Grant.
What was that?
Tiger Grant.
I'm sorry, what is A?
A would be the liquor license for Wiki Up Station.
Okay.
B is going to be the Legislative Day.
Is that Wiki Up Station or Wiki Up Junction Vicks Day?
It says Wiki Up Station and Vicks. So is
it's,
that
Station? It's Wiki Up Station Sports Pub, right? Is that the full name of it? And Vicks. It's two different applications, but it's for the same event.
Oh, okay.
Just for clarity.
Okay, next on the agenda would be the consent agenda. And first would be the approval of the minutes for April 10th. Does anybody have any corrections or?
I don't.
No?
No.
No? No.
The TRT transportation resolution, are we, that I guess we'll pick that up next meeting, is that it? Because on the minutes it said this meeting or next meeting one.
TRT and transportation are two different things, so which one is it? I'm not.
I think he's referring to the
TRT committee resolution.
Oh, the committee resolution.
Oh, it's going to be changing the numbers, the names, the numbers in the committee, and the name of the committee, and some of those other things.
Okay.
So is this an added agenda item, or is this on the consent agenda, or what is it?
I don't know. It was in the minutes?
Yeah.
It was that he talked to Jeremy about it, but I don't know if nothing was ever said about it coming to this. Nothing was actually said about it specifically coming to this meeting.
Okay, then it'll probably be postponed to the next meeting because
right.
It's one of the two meetings in the
right,
minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's all.
I make sure. No.
Okay. So getting on track. So the April 10th meeting minutes. Is everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. And what about, does anybody have anything to say about the April 14th regular meeting minutes?
I don't.
Okay, I have one correction. On page 8, number 12. The last line, it says, Councilor McAfee said that the state should determine if there is a conflict. mm-hmm. and the city should designate an alternate.
Okay.
So the bills and invoices, did everybody have a chance to go over that?
Yes.
Okay, do we have any objections or corrections?
I didn't find any that I have a problem with.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I shall move.
As corrected.
I shall move.
I second it.
Okay. Do I get to hit the gavel now?
If you want.
Consent agenda. Okay.
Would you vote on it?
Hey, you got to vote.
They made the motion on
it. So I'll take a vote.
Aye.
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 Now you can hit the gavel.
There we go.
Motion passed.
There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. On the next on the agenda will be Terminix mosquito abatement.
Yes.
And sir, what is your name for the record?
Would you like to address the council?
Sure.
Okay. May I stand?
Whatever you feel comfortable.
Well, my name is Hassan Haifi. I'm the vice president, co-owner of Haifi Inc. doing business as Terminix here in Central Oregon. I was asked to come today to address the council regarding the mosquito abatement program we have in place for this coming season. Questions you may have or concerns, please ask away.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
In reading, yes, it says that you're going to do 8 miles per week. Is that correct?
Correct. Weather permitting.
Okay, right. But does that mean that it's going to take a full month to get all the 31 miles done?
Well, ideally with mosquito abatement, if I may say, we have factors involved as far as weather, city events looking at too, trying to maximize the best use of the money for the city of Lapine. If we could do 8 miles per week, and we will stagger it going through the city so everybody gets the benefit of the service. But leaving it open-ended where if we get a call saying, we have an event coming up this week, and it's going to be a lot of people there, is there any way we can modify the service? We can do that working within our budget and also working within the allotted miles we've set up. So there's a little flexibility there. The other concern was weather. If we have a rainstorm and thunderstorms, what can be done? We would basically credit the mileage or the time, if you will, to proceed to another week and make up for lost time. When doing treatments, there's two ways of doing treatments. One, you can provide a service in the morning, or you can provide in the evening. Evenings seem to be the best in Central Oregon because you have to have temperatures about 50 degrees to perform the service. As we all know, in Central Oregon, the weather is quite cool early in the morning. We do have mosquitoes out, but to maximize the benefit for the city of Lapine, recommend doing it in the evening to get the best bang for the buck, if you will. But again, ideally, trying to do it 8 miles per week and just going through the city so everybody sees the value of the service.
Which means it's going to take a month to get the whole city done.
Well, it's
take
a month. Or we could do it in 2 weeks if we had
just
rainstorms. We may have to just bunch together for some reason.
I see. So it's possible to do 2 weeks in 1 week
we could,
and then skip
possible.
Something. Is that what?
That's always possible. Correct.
Okay, and then I notice that you, if somebody complains about the mosquitoes returning before the time to do it, get if they call you, you'll come out and take care of that, correct?
Not correct. This is a tough thing in our line of work in pest management. Everything we do has a written guarantee, or we guarantee to come back out free of charge. The only exception is in mosquito abatement programs, where if one person complains because they see one mosquito, we cannot come back just for that one complaint. When doing the abatement program, there was only a reduction. And that's marked down on the agreement that due to the transient nature of the pest, there's a reduction. if you want us to come back, there's a gray area. We can say, sure, we can come back because you have a lot of pressure in one area from mosquitoes, and maybe we'll take the 8 miles from next week and refocus on this one area for you.
I get you. Okay.
Any other questions or concerns? I know originally there was concerns about doing the applications with windows being left open. General public safety and health, this process is done for many years. I think many people in this room can reflect back when they were growing up as kids, maybe other parts of the nation, having this treatment done in other parts of the country where they're doing night foggings or morning foggings. The treatment will last a matter of minutes in one area. The compounds are designed to dissipate. It's a contact killer. I've included in some other information tonight to show how it's performed. Basically, you have a truck-mounted fogger. There's a yellow flashing light. Well, down the street, you can see the light flashing, indicating someone's coming through. And it's quite loud, the machine. People can hear it coming. So normally, people will step aside, go in their homes. But I can say from past experience, when servicing Wild River, many folks would sit on the front porch having a cocktail and give you a thumbs up. They don't mind. It has a very sweet smell to the product. I've included the label of the product as well in our proposal. There are concerns with aquatic life. You are not to apply the product to your waterways due to the concern of aquatic life. But in a residential setting or a park setting, no concerns or problems really at all. Folks can open the windows or close them. It's all their wishes, essentially.
So what about the ponds in the front yard that are next to the road with fish in it?
The ponds themselves, that's a very small area of concern. My concern would be mainly large rivers.
Okay.
Where you have a blue ribbon trout stream and going by. An example would be the campground I heard you folks talking about earlier, where we're planning on doing a barrier treatment using green products that are not harmful to mammals. Doing a barrier treatment is completely different than doing night fogging. Small little ponds shall be fine. It's large bodies of water. If somebody went by within 5 or 10 feet and was blasting away.
Okay.
So how effective would be the half treatment?
Well, I guess one way to explain it is, let's say we live in a rough neighborhood and we need to get bars on the windows. You put bars only in the front half of your home, nothing in the back. Not too effective. You would see a reduction in pressure from a criminal to see the bars, and there would be a reduction in mosquitoes by doing a half treatment. But later you go in the summer months, it gets warmer. Mm-hmm. And my personal belief is, with the mild winter we've had this year so far, mm-hmm. if we have another wet spring like last year, mm-hmm. we should have the same pressure or more than we had last year, mm-hmm. because everything's in place. All the mosquitoes we had last year, they're already there. They're waiting to come out. We've already received calls from people in Lapine asking about when they come up to the barrier treatments. The last 2 weeks in May are when we actually be doing the barrier treatments for private homeowners in Lapine outside the city limits. You're always better off to do the mosquito abatements through the entire season. You can maximize the benefits, getting it early and then continuing through to have a reduction for the next coming year. I realize in any business, which this is for the city of Lapine, running the city as a business, there's financial obligations. And we're willing to work with the city and trying to provide the best service we can to have a reduction of the mosquitoes. But if you're only doing half the season, later on, people are going to say, what happened? We were enjoying the benefits of having reduction of mosquitoes. Now, we don't see a Terminix man out here doing the service. And so it is beneficial to continue throughout the season going into August as well. So there's only a slight reduction because you stop midway through.
So have we received that that best proposal, the one that for the best amount of coverage for the least amount of money?
The proposal I sent off on 4/13 uh-huh. was to start the service in June, July, and August.
Okay.
Historically, we have the most mosquitoes in this area. trying to also work with, I'd be very candid, a smaller city of Lapine for me. When we work for developments, South Lapine, West Lapine, and we're doing private communities or independent home sites, we do barrier treatments. Where we treat the landscaping by an ATV and we get rock on the ground. We start doing that in May. It's a private party. They're more flexible with their spendings. But for the city of Lapine, I feel starting in June, going through August, would be beneficial. And if there was a need next year to start earlier or run later in the year, we could address that for you. But I'm looking at being conservative now with your money.
Okay, so the $7,296 would be the, that would be your conservative estimate?
Correct, correct.
And conservative treatment then?
Correct, correct.
Should we also consider, or ask him to consider, the cooperation that they wanted with Park and Rec? They were interested in cooperating with us on some of their...
Okay.
I don't know if he was here on that conversation.
I don't think so.
Oh. No.
What?
Park and Recreation is also looking at doing the barrier treatment at Roslyn Park to make it more usable through the summer. And if we also fog that area, wondering if we could combine the efforts to get us both better prices.
Only concern about the park, and I talked to Justin about this. You've got a camp, people coming in from traveling, they want to use a camp. When they see somebody in a pest control field, they see the exterminator, the guys applying chemicals and poisons, not the pest management professional providing protection and safety to the surroundings. Going through and doing night fogging in a campground is not the best. When we do the barrier treatment for the park there, the campground, I should say, we are doing a barrier treatment along the river in the lower meadow using natural products, which break down very soon. We have to provide the service twice a month in doing the barrier treatment, and we have to post the area that's closed when doing the treatment. Very similar to when we work for the Park and Rec District in the city of Bend at Shetland Park for the camps for the kids. We go out there in the morning and do barrier treatments.
Okay.
It'd be the same for the park here, being the campground. Fogging process would not be the best because of campers being there. It wouldn't be ideal. The only exception would be if the park was empty. We could drive through and service that area. If I'm correct off memory, that campground has roughly 6 to 8 acres of usable land for people there visiting the campground, and I would say about 3 to 4 acres are really the true concern areas, which right now we're looking at just along the river itself. But I'd be very concerned about going down near the river in a pickup truck and getting stuck, or doing a barrier treatment having drip went over along the waterway. This is why we've chosen to do a barrier treatment using green products, which are rosemary, peppermint, and thyme, are the active ingredients.
Okay.
So very green.
So the combined effort would be would not be an option, right?
Well, it could be an option, but we'd have to draw away from the 8 miles we have proposed to service that one area. And if I may go back, you may not have all the information. I'm going to go back to June 24th of last year, when we were originally contacted about the mosquito service, when Paul Heineke, my partner in this business, was contacted about the mosquito service. We originally said, well, we're kind of getting into the year now, and with limited budgets for the city of Lapine, if there's any way you can set aside $5,000 and we can work with that money as a guideline to work with them so we could do barrier treatments and doing foggings at night in conjunction. Nothing ever came of that. Now we're looking at doing just the night foggings, and we could do barrier treatments for the city as well, and we charge an additional fee of $85 per acre to do that. And that can be done any time of the day when that process is being rendered. That service we do for Polish Homes here in Lapine, their development, Wild River, and many other homeowners, who hire us and we're planning to do that on their private properties.
I'm not sure that the city would have really the, any authority to allow the barrier treatment on private property.
Publicly owned, if you own the property the city owns.
We don't own anything.
You don't own
except
any?
The cemetery.
Okay, then that rules that out then.
Okay.
No need for it. Yeah. So there's a savings right there for you.
Okay.
So that goes back to doing the fogging just at night.
Just fogging.
And then that would be the this figure that you have here, right?
I'm sorry?
So then that would be the, our fogging estimate would be the 7296, right?
For the late season. There was talk of doing it part of the year, doing it half the season
right.
to see how it is, and then moving forward. We're willing to do that. Respond it via email saying, yes, we could do that for the city.
Yeah.
You guys can test the water on it.
But in your opinion, that would not, well, that would probably not be very effective, right?
No, because you would not have a backlash of people in the city saying, what happened? We were enjoying the benefits and
yeah.
just stopped in the prime season.
We would lose our discount for paying in advance, too.
Well, if you pay in advance, you do get a discount of 5%.
Yeah, $384.
And we would be willing to work with the city of Lapine on this, so it benefits all and it's fair for all concerned. We're looking at hopefully establishing a long-term relationship with the city of Lapine in doing this.
It's just getting the process started on the budget.
Certainly.
So we didn't budget for it for this year that we're in, so that's why we were concerned about maybe paying for half of it now and then budgeting for the other half of this summer and then all of next season.
I'm with you.
So we could get that discount for
yep.
sure.
You're telling us that we don't have the funds to do it.
Well, it's not that we don't have the funds, it's just that we have to watch our budget. We don't want to go overboard. We need to look at it real close again.
So
for half of it, I don't think
for half, then we can afford half to do it this fiscal year, and then in July, then we would budget it for the other half and have it through the. So we would be fully covered for this
for next
for
year.
A full application for this until
for the
June, July, and August
for this year, and then all of next year.
Okay.
The second half of this summer, and then all of next. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Try to get the process ready.
In completing our budget, can we pretty much count on this figure to budget to put in for our budget for next year? So we have to add half of what we're doing this year plus this amount so we'd be
covered
for the full year.
For next year.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay.
If I may approach the council and give additional information here as well,
mm-hmm.
so you have it for your reference regarding the mosquito service. I've included the original letters I sent out in conjunction with information on mosquitoes from National Pest Management Association, which is training material is used in our industry across the nation, along with you're very welcome, pictures of how it's performed. So you have that. So if anybody comes to you folks and well, how is this done? What are they doing? Are they on foot? Sorry. You'll see in there, it shows a truck with a machine blowing the vapor out. And when we do the service, it's a marked truck that says Turbinex on it. It's clearly marked. Again, there's a yellow or actually orange light flash that you see on some construction truck on the side of the road. And the machine is quite loud, so most folks would hear it or see the truck coming down the street. So I address that again because that was one of the main concerns in the original question.
I have a question. Are you finished?
Mm-hmm.
Coming from the valley where I see them going along the roadway spraying the shrubbery, which we don't have here, what do you spray then?
We would use a product called Control 44, which is...
Just in the air?
In the air, correct.
Okay.
I've included the label within the literature there. Control 44 is rated at caution level on toxicity,
mm-hmm.
and we're speaking about pesticides, chemicals. People have to be aware of three different stages of toxicity. Danger, skull and crossbones, warning, and at the very bottom, caution. within the caution category, there's three levels of caution you work through. Green products that we use, the Rosemont Campground, are rated at a caution level, very similar to this. The label indicates you can use this in parks, schools, areas, cities, a variety of locations, essentially. Many products that are applied along the roadway for weed control historically will say a warning on the labeling. They're a little bit more potent, if you will. These products are designed to dissipate within a matter of minutes, so it's not lingering about for long-term residual effects like a weed control product would be to control weeds. That helps you answer
the question? Yes, and what would you do about the ballpark on Finley Butte? Since most of the games are played in the evening.
Okay. Scheduling of treatments is going to be a challenge initially for us and the City of Lapine. Mm-hmm. With events, learning the schedule and what's happening with sporting events, things of that nature, we would have to have a calendar submitted to us. We can work around that for that very reason. We don't want to show up when there's a game going on and cause a disruption. We can work around that. And for us, I guess we're in the service business, the private sector. Those are the hoops you jump because it's your livelihood. And that's what you do is you adjust for your customers.
What time in the evening would be done?
Well, it can vary. You want to do it near dusk. And in the summertime, that can be anywhere between 8 and 9 or at the earliest around 7:45. There's issues with wind involved as well. When doing the treatment, you have to keep the wind conditions in mind. If it's windy and the wind's above 10 miles per hour, you can't do the service. You have to be below 10 miles per hour and above 1 mile per hour. So you have to have a slight breeze. It can't be dead calm air. When doing the treatment, many times we'll be driving down the road, applying the product, stopping the machine, and watching it drift because the air current can have the product travel for us. When it's extremely windy out, you can't do it because you don't have true control of where it's going. It may just blow all over the place, which is less than ideal. So, anything else you can try to answer or explain?
Do you have any further discussion? Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think that this is, and it would enhance our tourism ability, or it would make it a lot more comfortable for our tourists. I think it would be a measurable accomplishment that people can see within the city. And so now I will consider public comment, and Dan, you signed up for that.
Yeah, I just like what I'm hearing, and I think that trying to coordinate it around the events would be a real good thing. I know that the rodeo grounds is a major mosquito area, and they're planning on watching fireworks out there, and I think if we could somehow coordinate that road, you know, when, you know, before but not during the event, it would be really nice, and it sounds like that's all possible. So that's all I was going to say is just, you know, I think you're on the right track of being concerned about our local residents as well as the tourists, and trying to accommodate that as much as we can. And I don't think it's any problem in communicating when the events are occurring. So that's good. I'm glad you're considering this.
Yes.
And I think it'll make our place a lot better place to live.
If I may interject one a few things. When our company does any services, we're in the service business and we're accustomed to getting feedback from a variety of people, positive, negative. Our company does about 100 service calls a day, year-round, like 140 in the summertime. So we're accustomed to working in a variety of conditions and working on events. When doing mosquito abatement, when Mount Bachelor Academy was in existence outside of Primal before it was shut down, we were servicing that school for mosquito abatement. Fall River Fish Hatchery, a lot of folks coming in to enjoy nature, fishing, and we're there doing mosquito abatement at a fish hatchery.
Mm-hmm.
Very sensitive mm-hmm. area. There we use green products in the key areas near the riverbanks, near the holding ponds, if you will, where they raise the fish.
Uh-huh.
Going back away from those areas, we use traditional products, which this would be classified as a traditional product. So we work in a variety of areas to be extremely mm-hmm. sensitive to ranches and farms out in Terrebonne or Prineville, and we're dealing with people's livestock. And you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of livestock out there. So not only our fellow man we have to be concerned about, but it's people's property. It's their investments. When doing the treatments at night, the product itself will not cause harm to vehicles or boats who may have parked outside. And you say, hey, you've got to stop. You're going to ruin my new $40,000 basketball. You can't do this. What are you doing? It will not harm these items. This product is used throughout the nation. Florida, Louisiana, the Deep South. This is a common thing about 7 months out of the year to do night foggings down there, and even in the early morning. So again, for people's personal property would not be harmed by this treatment. So that's one thing I always want to address. A lot of folks want to bring that up about my automobiles, my bikes, my toys, my kids' stuff.
I think the council members who had the most questions aren't here tonight.
Okay.
I think that most of us have experience with the mosquito abatement and are in favor of it, or in favor of the method.
Mm-hmm.
So, what would you guys like to do?
Let's move on.
Okay. So just for clarification, so then we would have, for this fiscal year, we would have approximately $3,332 for this fiscal year. And next year, then we would have the $10,628. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, that's what I figured. Is that right?
I have a breakdown here of the numbers to touch on what you're saying to back that up. All of June would be $2,560 for the month of June, coming out four times at $640 per application when doing treatment. Half of July, doing it twice, would be $1,280. The total for the trial basis would be $3,840 for the trial period. Going back to touch on what item that was addressed about going into next year, keeping the cost the same. That can be done due to the buying power of Terminix. We can buy our products in advance, so we have them to carry over to next year. So next year when we submit an agreement to you, it'd be identical. You won't pay more because the cost of the product has gone up. We have to always factor in the cost of gas going up and down in operating a business, but that was brought up a while ago about next year's service. Could it be the same? Yes, it could be the same.
Okay, so this would just be our fiscal budgeting years. So I think we'll go ahead and we'll entertain a motion to enter into a contractual agreement with Terminix Mosquito Abatement Program, pending legal review for the mayor to enter into the contract. Do I hear a motion?
I shall move.
I'll second it.
And I'll take a roll call vote.
Councillor Hedges, yes.
Councillor McPhee, yes.
Councillor Brainer, yes.
The motion passed.
You'll be hearing from us.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time on this issue. Appreciate it. Anything else for myself?
No, I don't think so.
All right. I'll let you folks get back to your business here, and we'll find a head back to Ben. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
I think it's going to be a good idea. Okay, next on the agenda, we have a proposal for the management of the Lapine Streetlight Banners. And Dan Varco, the executive director of the Lapine Chamber, will present that.
Okay. Hi. So, did you receive a copy of the proposal by chance?
Yeah.
Okay. With the Chamber and Lapine Tourism Center is really interested in consolidating and coordinating our tourism efforts and trying to leverage as much as we can as far as both effort and dollars and everything else to promote the tourism in Lapine and make it something that's attractive and as affordable as possible. So we volunteered we proposed to the city that we would be happy to manage the streetlight banners for you know, events that are coming up, seasonal things, and so basically I'll just read through the kind of criteria that we're proposing, and that is that the banners we would require that they be of professional quality, that they would promote local area events or seasonal celebrations, that the banners would not be of a commercial nature unless it was like we had a major, like one of the banks or something was promoting a big event and they might be noticed also, but they wouldn't be a priority logo, but they would be, they could have some credit on there for promotion of an event or sponsorship. The Pine Tourism Center reserves the right to charge a handling fee to the event promoters to cover the cost of putting up and taking down the banners. So if we had to hire workmen or equipment or something to put them up and down, that we would be able to cover that cost. The Tourism Center would provide two or more vendor resources to make it easy for people to acquire these banners and that we could somehow control the quality. The banner installation would be subject to either myself or the board of directors as far as just to kind of keep quality control on it. The banners would be consistent in nature. We think that they should be not real random as far as appearance, but as somebody drives down the street, they're the same banner, kind of reinforcing what they're seeing. A possibility, like for the Frontier Days and Rodeo, when they're happening in the same time frame, is that maybe one side would be Rodeo and one side Frontier Days, and a banner that we could reuse from year to year. We'd set time frames like 45 days prior to the event and take them down within 7 days after is what I'm proposing. Something that makes sense that way, and that seems logical from the talking to, you know, the promoters of these events. And we would agree to provide coverage because in case the city of Lapine was concerned about liability or something, we'd have insurance coverage that would call, you know, list the city as additional insured. Basically, we just like, you know, we take care of a lot of the marketing for the events, and we'd like to include this as kind of a way of coordination because we're well aware of what events are occurring and think that it would possibly save the city a lot of concern or, you know, headache or, you know, just having to be concerned about it on a day-to-day basis. I'm sure you're aware, I printed out a couple of copies of, you know, typical banners. I'm sure everybody's seen them. You see them in Bend and Redmond and in different areas around, and they're just a nice touch. Mm-hmm. And we have the lights existing now, and I think we ought to use it as a way to promote Lapine and make it an interesting place for people and just add awareness to events coming up. That's about it. Thank you.
Do you have an extra one of those, Dan?
Yes.
Okay, is there a generic banner that would be displayed in between events?
I didn't hear your question.
I wanted a pictures for my file. Yeah, we keep agenda files.
The question was, could we have a standard, like an off-season or something? I think that would be a real good thing to work toward. We'd have to look at financing for that and see how it would be, you know, see what we could come up with. My proposal is that the event promoters would be paying for what we're talking about here, and so we would have to find a way to buy the banners that would be up there, but more than willing to include that, and probably it should be maybe something that we just have to budget for and work toward. But I think that's a good idea.
I think so.
I don't think it should stand up there empty.
No.
But I like the seasonal idea. You know, in the winter we have snowflakes, and Lapine is a great place to live, or something. You know, something that we agree on there. And then maybe in the spring they have some flowers, and you know, the summer is pretty busy with other activities. So I don't know, whatever. Pine trees, whatever. I think that there's an interest in putting together a tourism committee that would really be stakeholders in the committee that have to do with tourism, and maybe they could make a decision and possibly even come up with funding for it.
And when you were talking about Frontier Days, for instance, and you're putting them up, does that mean that everybody involved in Frontier Days would have an opportunity to put up something? For instance, the senior center and their quilt show that goes along the same time. Is that in the mix for what you're proposing?
Well, our personal thought was that they should be pretty much the same banner on all the poles, so it doesn't look real mishmash. I suppose that's something that could be considered, but it'd get pretty involved if you were.
I just wanted to know what your opinion was on it, and I feel basically the same thing. Once you set the design, it should be consistent.
Yeah, that's my proposal.
Okay, well, I think it's kind of like a nice cherry on top of the those beautiful light poles that the community donated to the city, and the fact that you came up with this proposal to manage those banners and really get use out of those things, because the city really is not in a position to provide that service. I think it's a really good thing. And do we have any further discussion?
Is there a length of time that this agreement would be in effect?
I didn't put a time frame on there. We definitely sure could. Maybe we should consider that it would be reviewed annually or something like that, like at the first of each year, or
that might be smart.
When does your guys' authority end? Is it June 30th this year, or
your fiscal year?
You guys's?
The Ford Foundation.
I'm not part of the Ford Foundation, and I don't know the answer to that. I think that I was told it was the end of August.
Okay.
But I don't know that for sure.
And I think the city has to create policies for that, right? Or policies? For the banners. They know what I'm talking about.
we'll be working this year for next year with the zoning ordinances. They'll include a sign ordinance, and they'll have subsection with banners, and it won't be till next year.
Okay.
So I think what I'd like to do is to go ahead and have the city attorney contact you, draw up some sort of contractual agreement, and present it to council for approval at the next meeting. Does that sound good?
It sounds good.
Do I have a motion? Or no? Yes. Do I have a motion?
I shall move.
I'll second it.
I'll take a roll call vote.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Greiner, yes.
Motion passed.
I think we're all in favor of it. It's just a matter of putting everything in place, right?
How to do it.
Well, thank you, and we'll be eager to work forward, move forward on that. And I'm going to go over to the candidates forum. So, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, next on the agenda is a liquor license approval for a special event for Homestead Tavern. And do we have someone from Homestead? Hi. Okay, Carol Rabel.
Rabel.
All right.
Nippy.
Okay, do you want to come forward and present your statement, or?
I didn't know I was going to have to present anything.
No, you don't.
They're just here for
okay.
All right. What's going to happen?
I
have a live band there.
Okay.
And we're going to have a parking lot. It's going to be like a parking lot dance.
Just like we did
last year.
Last year.
Oh, okay.
Same exact thing.
It's very well prepared. You have everything right in there.
Right.
I can't see any problem at all.
I'm for it too.
Barbara?
Yes. So these two are across the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other two are different.
Those other two are the
right.
The agenda item.
Sounds good.
Okay, well, I'll entertain a motion to approve the temporary liquor license application for Homestead for, was it Cal doing business as Homestead Tavern?
You want me to do it again? I shall move.
Yes, I'll second that change. It makes it easier.
So I have a roll call vote.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Cressy.
Motion passed.
Great.
Thank you. We're moving right along.
I'll just sign copy in the morning.
Okay.
I'm going to take it out.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda is the appointment of a city representative for the selection consultant for the Highway 97 corridor study. So, do you want to present this?
Yeah, I can. The contract for bid on the analysis study is out right now. It's ending Friday is the last day for it.
Mm-hmm.
The county has asked that we supply have one of the counselors be on the selection committee for that contractor. So they just need somebody to volunteer.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. And there's two counselors that are on that project, the corridor. And that's Barbara Hedges and myself. So that would probably be the most logical choice. And I think Barbara should do it.
I was going to suggest that.
Well, you made her do the mayor, so, you know,
would that be all right with you?
It would be good, yes.
Okay.
There is no other information, is there, about when it would be or...
No, they just need to have who it is, and then here's, this is the RFP, so
okay.
Study up. That's
Thank
what
you.
They'll be bidding on.
Yeah,
I'll have me get a hold of you.
All right.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to select Barbara Hedges, Councilor Barbara Hedges, as a representative from the council to serve in the RFP process in the... wait, let me start
selection
that over again.
Process.
For the selection process for the analyst study on Highway 97. Should I restate that?
No.
You restate it, you make it confusing.
No, it wasn't confusing.
No, he's going to...
So do we have a motion on the floor?
Yes.
I'll second it.
A roll call vote.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Reiner, yes.
Motion passed.
Yay.
We're moving right along. This is what I like. Okay, the next on the agenda is... from the Planning Commission, is it the submission of a budget and historical landmarks? No. Yes, it is. It's the consideration of the budget, right? For the Historical Landmarks
actually,
Commission?
Actually, two separate agenda items.
Oh, okay. So, John, is the budget item for the Planning Commission for the following fiscal year?
Can you report to Council, please? I'll bring a member of my staff. And she will do most of the talking?
Yeah.
Before we start, I wanted to mention one thing with the banners. We'll have a section, Joan and I were gossiping about that in the back. We'll have a section in the sign code And one of the things that we're always concerned about is when people work in the public right-of-way, like where these banners will likely be placed, we want to make sure that we give them all the authority that's needed and that they indemnify us for insurance purposes. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that your city attorney will prepare. We'll reflect that in the code so mm-hmm. that the city's covered, you know what's happening, people who are doing the banners know what the rules are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to let you know that because it's a very straightforward process. It's not costly. We need to make it simple. Just keep it real straightforward. The same philosophy goes for the proposed Planning Commission budget for the next fiscal year, your budget that you're preparing now. And what we did is we had a description of each line item that we thought would be appropriate during the next 12 months. And it starts out with citizen involvement in terms of advertising for hearings, public notices, and special events. When you're doing a zoning ordinance that affects all the property values within the city limits and the UGB, which are the same line, people are going to be very excited. And they're going to want to know what happens to my property. Is the city imposing new rules? What are the state's rules for creating a zoning ordinance? And a lot of times that requires a lot of public outreach. We can't create these codes without letting the public know what's happening and encourage their involvement coming back. So a lot of what you're going to see in the next 12 months is outreach to make sure that the citizens know what we're proposing in terms of zoning, lighting, signage, mitigation, and subdivision ordinances. I think there's one other, and I just can't remember it off the top of my head. The second line item is for materials. In order to get some of those notices prepared, there may be special printing, there may be special publications, small services to make sure that advertising is done properly. And so we have that line item. And then number three, under contractual services, I think you've seen some of that this year. When applications have come in from the county, you're kind of at a loss on how to analyze that. There are times when you may need to hire the services of a traffic engineer to analyze the true impact of a proposal upon the city. And you may not want to just simply rely on the county's analysis. So we think that those items, including other applications that might come up, we're seeing improvements and upticks in the economy. We're seeing numbers improve slightly. We expect that to continue. So we have to be prepared for that. So studies, research, GIS mapping, which is geographical information system mapping, any inventory work, grant writing, you mentioned Tiger Grants earlier, somebody to make those applications, urban area management agreement revisions, which I have under UAMA, and contractual engineering. In terms of inventory work, I'll give you an example. We've had a lot of interest in the sign code. And in discussions with the chamber, people want to see livability standards improved and try to reduce the clutter along the highway. How do you do that without an inventory of what you have? So that you can talk to the individuals that own the businesses and say, hey, look, you know, our sign code's going to allow 5 signs, you have 20. How are we going to inventory? That takes time and cost. We can do a lot with digital photography. We can create a resource. It takes somebody to do that. So those are the kinds of things that would be included in inventory work. Training-wise, Oregon Planning Institute, the American Planning Association, and the League of Oregon City Conferences are continuing training events for our 5 planning commissioners, and we have a reasonable amount in there for a 12-month period. We expect that certain members of the Planning Commission will attend one or the other. We don't expect to send every single planning commissioner to each seminar that's offered. We wish we had the money to do that. We don't think that's appropriate. We've got to kind of get the best bang for our buck. In terms of resource materials, we've budgeted $1,500 to start the City Library of Resource Materials. And it's kind of like outfitting a new house. You got to have some basic materials. You're going to need an ITE manual so that you guys understand what the Traffic Institute of Engineers includes for trips, for different activities, for businesses. They're going to be informational handouts that you'll want to have available for the public. And in terms of resource materials for the planning commissioners, I brought some examples that are typical in any city library. Hang on just a second. For example, through APA, envisioning better communities, smart streets and safe streets, manuals to show how you can improve your street system but also allow development to occur, and other materials that are connected to regulating the physical environment. So as much as we talked about in the comprehensive plan about retaining livability and creating a complete neighborhood, you're going to need some resource materials to let your public know what that means and to help educate your planning commissioner so that they can carry that message forward. So it's more than just policy. It's making sure you've got the visuals. And then subscriptions, APA membership. There's a discount rate for enrolling the planning commission as a total instead of individuals. And it's about $500 for the entire planning commission. There will be some website registrations for some of the ethics classes that are required. And each planning commissioner should sign up for the ethics training and go through that to make sure our citizens understand that people will be treated fairly, and we've gone through this particular training, which is essential when you're regulating land use. And then various publications through the Urban Land Institute. And then when people are out of town, because many of these training sessions are in Portland or Eugene, we have to budget the government rate for out-of-town travel expenses, and so we have $1,000 there for the year. This does not mean we're going to use all this money, but this is a budget, so we've budgeted.
Okay, so what is that UAMA revisions?
Urban Area Management Agreement.
Okay.
That is the relationship between the city and the county for the transition of services, enforcement, and management of the current planning system. Right now, they do everything. But as the codes get adopted, there'll be a transition. And halfway through the year, the state's going to want us to sit down and revise that agreement. It's too old. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fit what Lapine needs right now.
Okay. So you envision us using the GIS mapping within the next fiscal year?
We actually have a subscription through Deschutes County, but it only covers access. It doesn't cover the mapping. Uh-huh. So we're a participant. I think we pay $500 or $900 a year, and that gives us access to having the choices for what kinds of maps that Tim Berg will produce, and it doesn't pay for the mapping. So we have to have that available. For example, if you wanted to know what streets in Lapine were city-owned and Deschutes County-owned, which you should have a map of, that's where you would get that map.
You really should have a map for the residents of this town to know where all the streets are.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of people live here and they have no idea when you say a certain street name where that street's at. So we need that.
Yeah. All your resource materials, you're going to be beefing up each year. And for this first year, you're going to see more expenses than you would in following years, because you're going to be building up that resource library.
Exactly. Can I also add something to you? This budget here will certainly increase with a full planning department, but this is just a startup budget for this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good budget. I've gone over it many times, and I think it would work. However, if we run out of year, this is, we're all volunteers and not all of us can attend all the training and everything. So I would propose too that any monies left over from this budget be carried over into the next fiscal year's planning budget and not deposited in the general fund. The reason for that is, we'd like to keep track of our own budget and not just have it dumped in the general fund every year. I know that's a common practice, and what it does then is it makes us have to completely
reinvent this process every year. The Planning Commission will come in front of the council every year at this time with a budget, mm-hmm. as you know. And so we don't get mired down everything. It might be simpler just to any monies is carried over into a planning budget and left there.
Can we do that?
Yeah. Well, we'll look into that. Yeah, that would be something that we would have to research.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that sounds...
Yeah, other communities do. I just want to throw that out just in case.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. I have a couple comments is that that I think that this is a investment in an income-producing department, mm-hmm. eventually.
Mm-hmm. That's quite good to this planning
right.
business.
And I personally have had to learn a lot about land use and planning this past year. And I know that it's imperative that you grasp all the concepts like, right-of-way, proportionality, easements. You have to know all of that stuff so that you can, adequately articulate what your decisions are. I think the training is imperative. So,
especially property rights. You know, it's a very important concept. Nothing hits home more than what you can do with your own property. Mm-hmm. And people want to know. Lighting, for example. Your neighbor's light shines directly in your window. Mm-hmm. Why isn't the city doing something about that? Mm-hmm. Well, it can do something about it. That's good for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Planning Commission will act like judges to make sure that they're implementing and promoting mm-hmm. codes that make sense for the community.
Right. I think this is a good proposal to go to the budget committee. Also, I have another thought is that I would like the city to also like go into the submission of e-plans, go electronic, not go paper. I mean, I think that's an unnecessary step. You might as well just go to the technology that's out there. I think that when the county representatives were here at your planning commission, that they said that we could use their program free of charge.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That means we're going to have to budget for monitors so that, if you dump it into ePlan,
right.
Planning Commission's going to have to have access to computer monitors so they can see it.
Right.
So that'll be a future budget year item.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is something we're just going to continually have to build on.
Right.
Unfortunately, we get reliant on it, mm-hmm. but I think it's the right way to go.
Right.
Now these budget requests are kind of a heavy subject. I might add a little lighter note, too, and I have a little testimony in the last meeting, which was, 16th, the Planning Commission. Tom Anderson, Community Development Director, was sitting right in this chair right over here, and we had Nick Lelag, County Planning. We'd like to tell everybody that we have an awesome relationship with Deschutes County.
Mm-hmm.
Completely workable. We have full access to all their records.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Anderson said that he is looking forward to working with Planning Commission, and we have an awesome relationship to start out with Deschutes County. That is an integral part of the success of this town, and that was an awesome evening, and I'm just tickled pink about it.
I can tell.
The county could have gone the other way with this, mm-hmm. and really kind of put a lot of resistance to the city of Lapine. The word that Tom Anderson Bolton, Nick Lelak, his employee mirrored was that we have full cooperation with the county and they are looking forward to working with the planning commission. So that's just awesome news.
And they sent us an email today that They'll make their library a lending library for us as well. They're trading materials. We'll have that.
Actually, the county is really, as bad as things have gotten over the septic issue, but they have really been there for the city.
Yep.
You know, they've helped us out. We've had questions, they're there, you know. And it's been a pretty good ongoing relationship anyway, so it's good to keep it that way. And
I think everybody's cooperation with them, all the committees that we have, yours and the different committees that we're on, we've been working on that. And they understand it. Very good. But what does APA stand for?
American Planning Association. Once you join, you become an automatic member of the Oregon chapter.
Okay.
So that we have access to Oregon planners and Oregon issues.
We may already be on that because I think we paid for that subscription.
You did with Christine, but I'm not sure it continued.
Okay. We can check into that.
Maybe an annual subscription. And again, there is a discount for the entire... In these towns, the entire planning commissions join rather than individuals, and so there's a discount that way.
So on your travel expenses, I have a little question because most of us don't put in for reimbursement for our travel, like Bend and Redmond and all of those. So would your committee be willing to give up some of that too?
Certainly, if it was local. You know, again, we live along the Pine, we take trips to Bend and Redmond and everything anyway.
Yeah.
This would be more directed toward trips to the Valley, Eugene, Portland area. This is where most of the APA conferences and training sessions are.
Right.
There would be probably very few in Bend.
Very few. Most are in Portland and Eugene.
That's why that...
Well, that might be a good idea, but that wouldn't be an expectation.
Just personally, I would have a hard time asking for reimbursement to Central Oregon. I travel anyway. You know, I might swing by Costco and then someone might see me do that, and so then it might look bad, you know.
That is so true.
Conflict of interest there. So, no, this would be just really reimbursable. Out of our way, we're all business people. We work. These would be days we'd be away from our families and our businesses and such, and more than likely lose a lot more money than we'd be reimbursed. So that's all.
I was just picking because I know that we put in when we go to Maupin.
That's Maupin. You should be paid to go to Maupin. No, I'm just kidding. Maupin is a wonderful place.
That's why I'm carrying your vehicle, too.
Well, I'd have to, sure.
And there's some laws about that where government expenses are required to be identified for public employees.
One thing I notice here, you've got contractual services, $13,500. Where in the world can you get a consultant or somebody like that to work that cheap? Seems to me like every time we talk about anything, it's thousands of dollars. So, I mean, are you sure that we can come out at that?
Yes.
That's one thing. And the other thing is, I really feel that you're a little short on meals and travel expenses because you don't drive to Eugene and Portland for nothing. And especially if you're stuck up there, you have to stay overnight or something. So, I mean, I was teasing when I said before that John put in a wanted to spend a lot of the city's money because I think this is really a very, very comprehensive and an austere budget, if you want to know the truth, my personal opinion.
It is. And keep in mind we're in a testing phase, too. We're not for sure on how much activity is going to come to us in terms of new applications, new land use applications. I can almost guarantee that you'll have at least two training trips to Portland. It'd be nice to have more, but the way it bunches up is League of Oregon Cities and the OAPA conference. And then if there was something else, for example, there was an optional one, just as an example, that occurred on March 31st related to the design and planning of public spaces. That's a critical thing. And those will come up periodically, and we'll go, yes, that's in tune with what we're looking at. Let's get some people over there. So it is austere, but for a first year of the Planning Commission, I think it's a practical way to proceed, give us some history to build on for the next year.
Thank you.
So do you foresee any income coming in from the Planning Commission or plan review this fiscal year?
No.
No. Okay.
No. Once we have ordinances in place and we're able to handle bringing in applications for review, we're going to be talking about something different. Mm-hmm. And the city will have to look at having a staff person that is partially funded by fees that come in by regulating the city's ordinances. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole other discussion.
Right.
We won't be dealing with that for about a year.
However, we would certainly like to get to the point in the future where the entire planning department is paid for with the permit and the income process within the city. That's something obviously to work toward. And that way that there would be no cost to the city in the future. It's Deschutes County, you know, does for the most part. There is some problems with that in a down economy and different things. They are experiencing some problems up at Deschutes County level right now with their department. But it's something that certainly we want to look for in the future, to be totally paid by revenue, you know, from the planning.
Would that include code enforcement?
Well, that would be the goal.
To go into that department.
Code enforcement, you know, your permit process, that whole flow chart that you've seen going all the way to the planning department.
You will have income eventually.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah, we certainly hope so.
And it's a balance. You know, it's a real balance. You'll see some of the things that Ben has experienced. Developers have a real concern about whether processes and fees are getting in the way of economic development. That's a good discussion. Whether it occurs or not, it's something important for the city and the chamber to stay in touch with, because you don't want to create obstacles that force development somewhere else.
Right.
You need to make it easy for people to come to La Pine and not create those obstacles. If we had a fee that was way too high, why would they come here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
I have one more comment, if I may. This is really huge, because this is the point that the city was formed for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want their own destiny, their own control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're almost there. So it took 4 years, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when these people come to us and say, we want to start a new city because we want our own control, what's it going to take? It's going to take 5 years to get there. It's already too late.
Okay.
Don, if it'll make you feel better, next year's budget will make sure that the contractual services is much higher.
It isn't trying to make me feel better. What I don't want is, I don't want your hands tied. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you get to the point where you need it, then I think you should be able to have it. One thing that if I'm getting what you're just telling us, is that right now the Planning Commission is all volunteers, but what you're looking to develop this into is a department,
right?
A city department,
right?
Is that correct?
Man with a planning director,
yes.
Paid director,
right.
Paid staff.
So what we need then is to get our city manager online to get things going to aim that way.
Absolutely.
In cooperation with you, right?
Right.
That's right. When you don't have a city planning staff, you have to use some contractual services.
Right.
Otherwise, who's going to do the work?
Right.
Okay, the only item I'm not really clear about is this, is regarding how you wanted the budget structured, and not, you want it presented as another fund, like the traffic?
A separate fund, like the street fund.
Yeah.
So it tracks.
If possible, just, you know, to make it easy for tracking and everything, and so that, you know, we can keep track as well as you folks, is to have it be a separate fund for the Planning Commission. If at all possible, to any monies that are left over to carry over into next year's
planning budget. It's we're all the same city and all that, but it would seem simpler in my mind to keep the monies in the certain departments and carry over if you would, rather than dumping them into the general fund.
Yeah. I think the easiest way to do that is to put a separate line item in the budget that's a planning budget,
mm-hmm.
and then the planning commission would break down whatever they were using it out of here,
and the bond,
you would have say you've got $25,000 in your fund. Mm-hmm. Everything that's charged to the planning commission mm-hmm. comes out of that fund, and when mm-hmm. it gets to zero, it's zero, and then we have to address building it back up again.
Mm-hmm.
But that, to me, would be the logical way to do it.
Out of the general fund?
Yeah.
So then just
right,
have a one-line item?
Yeah, just a one-line item.
I guess those issues can be discussed through the planning, with the budget committee.
Right.
So what you're looking for here today is just approval of this proposed budget mm-hmm. to present for
to
the approval of the budget committee.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a motion?
I'm not real sure you're going to want to be voting as a council on a budget issue.
It's a concept.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is
just so we're clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble on
so
that.
That so that it can go to the committee.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's worthy of discussion for the budget.
Right.
Well,
so
what we do then is to vote to recommend this to the budget committee.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
That's what the motion states.
That's
no,
right.
No,
that's
no, no, I didn't get it.
Okay.
Can you restate it for me?
Okay.
Thank you.
So, do I have a motion to approve the proposed City of Lapine Planning Commission budget to be presented to the Budget Committee for consideration?
I shall move.
I'll second it.
A roll call vote?
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, and then the second little half of my report here on the historic landmarks subcommittee.
Mm-hmm.
We have a historic landmark subcommittee. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
Is this permission to have Patty put this as a public service announcement in the papers? And I'll just read it real quickly. Did you know there is now a historical landmark subcommittee for the City of Lapine? This committee will be part of the Planning Commission working alongside previously established historical groups interested in how history will play a part in future development, identifying and marking landmark locations, taking photographs, interviewing and writing articles, school presentations, and others could be some of its goals. Let's all get involved in this 100th anniversary of Lapine! Exclamation mark. We need your help. Please call City Hall 536-1432 or John at cell phone 480-4511.
I think that's great.
Yes.
Or just the right amount of enthusiasm.
Great. Thank you.
You need to read it when they get the paper.
Yeah.
Give me a big microphone.
We can voice it on the website.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
We appreciate all your hard work.
Yeah. Okay, moving right along. The next item up for, it's not up for bid. Okay, the next agenda item is permission for committee member to attend the Oregon Water and Wastewater Infrastructure Finance Workshop.
Yeah.
And to present that would be Mr. Ted Shore.
Yeah, I think you've all got the information distributed on that specific workshop.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna, you know, we're talking about hopefully somewhere down the road the city taking over the water and the wastewater infrastructure, and this is a session, a whole day session, starting at 8:30 in the morning until four at night in Pendleton. The one I could attend would be in Pendleton, so I'm asking for that reimbursement for Pendleton rather than Salem, since I can't, I'm not available for that one. To learn about financing and what grants and funds and so on are out there for these two important committees or utilities, part of the utilities committee. I just want to add one comment too, in John's presentation and so on, and I'm really pleased with the direction it's going, but that's another reason for incorporating the water and sewer districts into the committee. Saving administrative costs. A lot of those things, some of the things that they were presenting could be coordinated, and staff from water and sewer boards or parts of the city could be incorporated in the planning. And also, I especially like the comment of not having to run all over the place for permitting and this type of thing. If you got one place to go, the city for your permitting, it's much easier on a developer coming in and trying to develop property, and you don't have a possibility of conflict of interest. In terms of this workshop, Chris is here, and it's actually his sidekick, Jake Salcone, is the one that brought this up to me and is putting on the workshop over there. So if you want to speak to it, go ahead, Chris Marco.
Should be a great event. There'll be the key funding agency folks there, rural development, state folks, regulatory agencies. We've done these annually for the past 3 years. They've gone over very well. Should be a great educational opportunity and networking.
Oh yeah, that would be good. I think that'd be excellent.
You know, I would plan to go, and if whatever the city can come up with, I figure there's going to be Miley's $20 fee for the day's session, and that's going to cover lunch, I think. And I'm probably going to have to spend at least one or two nights. If the city reimbursed me for one, I'd be plenty satisfied with that, because start at 8:30 in the morning, I'm not going to get up at 2 in the morning. And then it's over at 4 in the afternoon.
Tim, the city indicates here that we're over our budget already this year. Would it be possible, perhaps, if you would pay and then we could write it into next year's budget and pay you after the first of the year? Would that work?
That would work.
Does that answer your question?
Would we
be allowed to do that? If he turns it in after July 1st, why not? Wouldn't that work?
Don't we have a contingency in the city budget that for these kinds of expenses?
It's just that line item. The overall, the materials and services are, I mean, there's room in there. It's just that line item itself for travels and schools is over.
According to what you put down here, the budget's $4,500, and we're currently at $5,192, which means it looks like we're over about $600 or $700.
We are on that line item.
Yeah.
But not in the category, right?
The whole category, yeah. This is where we need to be careful at this point. That's where I was. We don't want to go overboard at the end of the year.
Right. But as such, I do not want to ask Mr. Scholler to wait for payment until the next fiscal year.
We can bite the bullet.
We can. So.
And this is just something that for next year's budget has to be really thought about. You know, what all is going to be.
Exactly. So I guess that the best thing to do is if you would submit a preliminary estimate of what you would need for your reimbursement. And
sure, I can do that.
So, but I think that we can go ahead and... okay, so let me just kind of figure out how much you would need. You need $20 for the class, and let's just give a rough estimate of probably $100 or $150 for the hotel room.
I would only ask for one night. at my age, I don't want to take off at 4 in the evening and drive back. That's my personal. So one night wouldn't do it, and I stay cheap, like Motel 6.
Well, I think the Red Lion is where it's being.
Okay.
And,
and
so 70 on it?
Yeah, 70 probably.
It's about.
How many miles?
I'm just going to guess, probably 400 miles.
One way or both?
Both. Yeah.
So it'll be about 200
miles. Oh, excuse me.
It's going to be.
It's going to be. I think I did a little check on MapQuest on that.
Oh, good.
And I think it came out to. I think the mileage may be around 300.
Okay.
300 round trip.
Yeah, but we pay it 50 cents a month.
No, I think that's probably one way.
Yeah.
It's 4.5 hours to Pendleton.
Yeah.
That's six. Well, I'm taking into account. Okay, so it's. I'm sorry. Yeah, but that's 600 miles. You think
about 125 miles to Biggs.
I think you should get two
because it's 50 cents a mile.
Figure $390.
Why don't you check to see if they have a block of rooms and the charge so that you can have two nights?
I found that right now we go quite often and we're finding that we can get some pretty good rates on hotels. Yeah. I wouldn't stay at a Motel 6 personally. If you can't go and stay at a decent hotel, I don't think that's fair to ask you.
Stay at the Red Lion.
Yes.
Where it's held.
Let's not get carried away.
That's where the workshop is, the Red Lion.
Yeah. I think when you stay at the Red Lion, it was $75. Okay, so how much is the estimate?
$400.
Right,
yeah, about.
All right, so I'll entertain a motion to grant permission for Ted Scholler, committee member of the on the Utilities Committee, to attend the Oregon Water and Wastewater Infrastructure Finance Workshop. And the reimbursement of his expenditures at approximately $400.
I so move.
I'll second.
May I have a roll call vote?
Councillor Hedges, yes.
Councillor McPhee, yes.
Councillor Biner, yes, provided you don't stay at me in Motel 6. Thank you. I'll take that under consideration. The boss is sitting next to me.
Motion passed.
I just wanted you to note that we could have stayed at a Red Lion in Reading last weekend, that we were down there for $109, but we didn't get a reservation in on time, so we missed it. But $109, so that's not bad. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Okay, so other matters. So these are the, where we're going to have the added agenda items. The first agenda item is the liquor license application for a special event. One is for Wiki Up Station and the other is for VIX. So did everyone have a chance to go over these?
Yes.
Is there, shall we have a discussion?
No.
Do you have any public comment? I'll entertain a motion to approve the, well, not really approving, just to... Granting the application for temporary liquor license for Wiki Up Station Sports Bar and for Vic's Bar and Grill Incorporated.
Those are also parking lot one, too.
I so move.
There's a motion on the floor.
I so move.
I'll so
move. Screwed up.
You messed it up. You're okay.
Yeah, you're okay.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
You got seconded twice.
Okay. Well, there's two applications.
Two applications.
Motion passed. I'll take a roll call vote.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Councilor Massey, yes.
Councilor Driver, yes.
Motion passed. Okay. So the second the second added agenda item is Legislative Day, and that is mine. For the COCO meeting, which is the Central Oregon Committees Organization, where all the committees come together and they form this organization, it's a legislative type of organization. And long story short, is that I volunteered applying to be one of the, actually I volunteered applying to be the host city for the Economic Legislative Committee, and they are considering it. So I wanted a consensus from council to move forward with trying to negotiate that. I don't believe that it's going to cost the city any money. I believe that the lunch and the field trip would come out of the COCO budget, but I'll make sure of that. But I just want to make sure that everybody's on board. I think it's going to be a really great opportunity to have the this legislative committee to come to Oregon, and we can possibly show them, you know, the industrial park, probably maybe issues that we're facing for the infrastructure, mm-hmm. the water and sewer things, those type of things. We could probably have it at the senior center. We would probably have to have it'll be a community effort, so probably include like the chamber, Leggy, and maybe even the water and sewer districts. So, it's sometime in the summer. It's right in the preliminary, early stages. So if we're not the host city, then we would at least be one of the legs on their trip.
That would be good.
I think so.
Anything that you can do to bring somebody or some group to this town should be top priority. I'm for it 100%.
Oh, good. Okay, so I'll move forward on that then.
So it's a day trip you're going to take?
I think that it might include an overnight stay. I'm not really sure. Generally, in the past, what they've done is they've visited, you know, sites. Like, they would come through, they'd visit Redmond, Bend, Sun River, you know, and Redmond and Bend would always be the host city. But then I said, well, what about LaPine? And they said, well, it's the newest city. Why not? And I said, yeah, we can accommodate you.
Here's our skills.
No problem. Yeah. Okay, so I'll move forward with that.
Good. They have meeting rooms here also.
Oh, at the... do they? Oh, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So the second item is a... Deborah, I'm glad you're here. Is a Tiger Grant. That looks like it's that the USDOT announced the opportunity to apply for funding under the Tiger II grant program, which is essentially the second round of the Recovery Act, and it's a multimodal surface transportation grant. And it looks like, just on its face, that we could possibly apply for this for the funding for our corridor study. Because it's a 20% match. They have at least $140 million is projected to go into the rural area. The pre-application must be submitted by July 16th. So that's like just around the corner. And the applications will be available on June 15th, so then we would have to apply. some of the...
This is a great example, Adele, of where an expert in transportation could be beneficial for the city to say, look, we need your help in applying this grant. The Tiger grant, the first phase, the minimum projects they were looking at were $20 million. We didn't submit anything, but the Wiki Up Overpass would be a beautiful project. If Tiger 2 is more of a smaller distribution for smaller projects, great, but once we see what the actual Tiger grant allows, you may find that they again want cities to look at their biggest projects, and that would be wonderful for Lapine. Put a lot of people to work.
Okay.
Isn't the Wiki Up Junction one? Isn't that one that ODOT, the state of Oregon, should be applying for through Tiger, and not the city of Lapine?
Well,
for funding, because
we would hope. But we have to work with all the agencies to make sure that we stay on their radar.
Okay.
Lapine's not at the top of their list.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we make the application, we're not going to be there. It does require coordination with ODOT, so we're not competing against our sister agency.
Right.
But the last Tiger grant phase, I don't think anybody applied for anything.
We had the discussion, didn't we?
We had the discussion, and nothing was applied for, and ODOT didn't apply for anything. So, but you have to have skill. I mean, you have to have skill to apply for these grants, otherwise you're wasting your time.
The projects have to be shovel ready to go, though, too, don't they?
Not necessarily.
No.
Okay.
Not this one.
Okay.
So, I guess what I'm looking for now is a consensus for myself to move forward and tap all the resources. And just move forward and try to work maybe with the county, with ODOT, is to apply for this grant and meet the deadlines. I think that in the first part of it, at least, the July 16th, the pre-application was going to be before our city manager is in place, so we were going to have to move on that. And then
we need to apply for this. And there's another reason to make these applications is to get Lapine on the radar screen. A lot of times these grant process, they recognize that a city has needs. You won't get it in the first round, but you might get it in the second round. And you just have to be out there every single time for these grant resources.
Who would apply for that? Did I understand the transportation?
That would be the best way to have somebody help us put that together. We have enough skilled people that if we had enough volunteer time between James, myself, the Planning Commission, coordinating with our ODOT reps in the county, we might be able to, you know, carve out some volunteer time for this particular one. But you really need a transportation expert to talk the same language.
Mm-hmm.
That's really critical.
Who would that be?
Traffic engineers. They apply for these
so
all
we
the time.
Have to.
John, what about that guy up in the Cagle subdivision? Isn't he an engineer?
No, not a traffic engineer, no. But there's plenty around in St. Paul.
Okay.
So I guess what I'm asking for now is just a consensus to find a way of applying for this.
Or at least make it a priority.
I think
the council tonight should make a motion to make this a top priority, that grant funding, we should be aware of it and move on it, and staff or someone should report back to the council on what the progress is.
Excellent. And not drop it.
Right.
We have to keep on it.
Okay, so do we have a motion?
I move that you move ahead with this.
I'll second.
Moved and okay, do we have a move and seconded? So I guess
you guys made an actual motion?
Deborah did.
Just make it a top priority and have staff report back.
Yes. So that I let's restate the motion.
Okay.
That that grant funding becomes a top priority, and that we move in that direction. So do I hear a motion?
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call vote.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Greiner, yes.
Motion passed.
This is one of the prime reasons why you become incorporated, because you can sit at the table and apply for these grants, being a city of political organization. So that's a prime reason why you're incorporated. You don't have to have all the money yourself. You can apply for grants for projects, specific projects. Like that.
So you know, Ed Chris says that he knows a grant writer that is very successful. And if it gets to the point where you need a grant written, I'm sure if you talk to him, he'll see to it that somebody will come in and help us. And the way he talked to me, he indicated that it would probably be at little or no cost to the city.
Okay. Well, we'll look at all of our options. Yeah. Okay, so let's see what we have next on the agenda. So now we will have a public comment for items not on the agenda. Yes, Mr. Thomas.
I just want to remind you that June 16th at 6 p.m. is the first meeting of the Transportation Advisory Committee. Excuse me. I believe in the resolution doesn't say that one of these counselors will be an ex officio member of that committee. So you can talk amongst yourselves and assign whoever you'd like to do that. I just want to remind you, June 16th at 6 p.m., the Planning Commission has actually moved their meetings to the third Wednesday of the month at 4 p.m. Okay? So everybody knows, and then to allow the Transportation Advisory Committee to meet directly after that at 6 p.m. So we're hitting two birds with one stone on the third Wednesday of the month.
Very good. So do you want to put that as an agenda item for next Wednesday?
We'll do that.
Thank you. Okay, do we have any other public?
Marco with the World Community Assistance Corporation, or CAC. May I approach the council and make sure you have my business card?
Sure.
If one has it.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I do have one. Okay. Thank you.
I'm here to provide an update and talk about work that we've been doing here with Lapine, as well as some ongoing work and proposed work, if I can have a few minutes.
Sure.
Well, I've been coming here for a little over 2 years now. Rural Community Assistance Corporation is a private nonprofit organization that helps communities achieve their visions and goals through training, technical assistance, and access to financial resources. Our time has been covered through USDA rural development funding to help the city with strategic planning, infrastructure planning, and some economic development work more recently. We were first asked to come in and work with the new city to facilitate discussion around strategic planning prior to the comprehensive plan, to share ideas about priorities, what the city should be focusing on in the short and long term. Out of those discussions, and I often stood right here with my flip chart and had a great time talking about all those things, and I pulled up a copy of a strategic planning document, which really was designed as a guiding document, as a living document, not a formal adopted document per se, like your comprehensive plan. And so I wanted to just share some of the discussion from those meetings that we're moving forward on, that we've moved forward on in working with you, sometimes in the corners of your dialogue and facilitating discussion around infrastructure and economic development. There were some short-term priorities and objectives that were talked about under economic development. Those included targeting discussion with economic development stakeholders in the community, including the business community, and trying to facilitate more focus on priorities and planning. So to that end, we were able to target some of our resources internally. Community Development Initiatives Program, it's also USDA, and we had a form that was signed by the city a few months ago. Your attorney reviewed it. It was adopted for us to basically pull together stakeholders to talk about strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats is how we propose to move forward. I've had the pleasure of meeting with the Chamber Committee on Economic Development and Government Relations through Dan and Ted, and have met with Deborah and staff to talk about strategies to facilitate this discussion. So our timeline under that funding source is quickly approaching in terms of the end date, which is May 7th.
Oh, wow.
And so what we've come up with, and it was shared at that chamber committee meeting, and I wanted to basically make sure you were aware of it and get your blessing at least to move forward. We developed a questionnaire, very straightforward, for business stakeholders to talk about. Originally, we were thinking about sending it out and compiling it as sort of a survey, but that would be very difficult to do within a week, one day now. And I wanted to make sure that the city was on board with what we need. So the questions basically are, what are the most significant strengths, assets, or elements of support for business, industry, and economic development in Lapine? What are the most significant weaknesses, challenges, or limitations for business, industry, and economic development in Lapine? What are the most significant opportunities? Same thing, resources, future activities. And what are the most significant threats, problems, barriers to business, industry, and economic development of Lapine? So what I've been talking with Dan about, and shared this with folks also, is convening a meeting next week on May 7th in the afternoon, involving business stakeholders, folks that we can get to the table, through Dan, any other folks that you would want us to, and Ted here, to go through this questionnaire and facilitate an afternoon to flesh some of those ideas out, with the goal being, if there are folks within that group that participates that can identify some specific actions, maybe even 1 to 3 actions. You heard about the banners. There's talk about a website resource database for business services. That would be our goal, to get out of that meeting and prepare a summary of it to bring back to the city and, you know, do what you will with it as far as information or opportunities for economic development in Lapine. It's consistent with what we proposed under that RCDI grant that the city agreed for us to be working on. Our time's covered. We're not charging a fee for it, so we'd really appreciate your blessing to move forward with that meeting on next Friday.
What time might that be?
We're targeting 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
And we're trying to reserve space at the Mid-Century building.
Mid-State?
Mid-State.
Because we have a council meeting at 6.
Yes, that's what Kitty indicated.
Yeah. On the 7th?
We have one on the 7th.
Okay.
Do we?
No.
She mentioned a meeting.
The 12th and the 13th. So far, Wednesday and Thursday. I think the 7th is a
Friday.
Is that my inquisition?
Yes.
Oh.
I haven't been notified.
I tried to call you all day.
So we're flexible in terms of the time frame. I thought 4 hours would be a good window to talk about what does economic development mean. That came up at that committee meeting. Go through these questions and then come up with some ideas for some activities.
So this kind of goes along with when the legislators come. We can use that as a talk as a basis. I mean, it could have come in a more timely time. it couldn't have been more timely, really. I think that's excellent.
You said Wednesday the 5th, right?
Friday the 7th.
Friday the 7th.
Excuse me, Chris, what time
is
that again?
We're looking at 1 to 5, and Dan's got a message in, and you know, assuming that we can move forward, I'm going to put together a little blurb in a background that could be used as an invitation to send out to stakeholders.
You don't have an idea what location, where the location would be?
Mid-state.
Mid-state.
That's the proposal. It's not
confirmed. Chris, is it possible to have the questionnaire on the website so people who couldn't participate might be able to get their comments in?
It's possible. You know, this, it's open. We're open in terms of compiling. Like Jake and I have talked about, well, how do we want to, you know, segment the data, and, you know, we can make it a survey kind of thing. If it should be community-wide. You know, at this point, this is a tool at your disposal that we put together as a service. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to spend a lot of time compiling results and summarizing them at this time, but I'm going to actually check to see if we can have some time extended into that grant. At the very least, I would like to try and bring folks together for a discussion around it, and it's not going to be everybody, and it's, you know, it's hopefully going to be a core group of people that have enough representation through your leadership.
But the results will certainly be available if anybody wants them after the...
You bet. For the meeting, this would be used as a basis for the discussion at the meeting.
Right.
And we will take notes, and we'll have a summary. And
okay, so that summary will be available to
that's
anyone
right.
who...
That's right. It'll go back to the city and the chamber and stakeholders there.
Didn't that come with a cover letter?
There was a summary, yeah. There was
because I think I got it on an email, and I downloaded it.
Perfect.
So I have the letter in the form.
Yes. Hopefully you've seen it. But I wanted to come here today to talk with you about it and make sure that we were supported in moving forward.
So I think that we can do it by consensus, right? So do we have consensus for the RCAC representative, Chris Marco, to move forward with the...
Economic Development Planning
Meeting. The Economic Development Planning Meeting.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
And lastly, I must report that we are going to have some staff responsibility changes.
Okay.
And I will be taking on more responsibility to manage the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funding related projects in the western region that we serve. So,
including Tiger Grant too?
Including Oregon. So, you know, if Lapine gets in there,
okay.
You'll still have me more directly
okay.
involved. I have to say it's just a pleasure working with Lapine, and you are meeting your challenges. You have great resources.
Mm-hmm.
You have great people. I see great things happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm around. I'll be in Oregon. Feel free to call upon me.
Okay.
In terms of policy work, I am involved in that. I will keep up with that for the organization. We will have a new staffer, and Jake, who you've met.
Oh, yeah.
Will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thank you very much.
So, Chris, so Jake will still assist us with the Water and Sewer Committee?
Yes.
Okay.
So, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll have committee reports. And I see Mr. Schuller in the audience. For your committee report.
Is that on the agenda?
Every meeting.
Every meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I have nothing new to report from the last meeting. We are due to meet. Oh, yeah.
him next month on the 20th, mm-hmm. that's why he can't be in Salem. We are looking forward to some action reports at the next meeting from some of our committee members moving forward, so we're not just sitting there and being a talking committee and not an action committee. So we're looking forward to moving forward.
Very good.
I have a couple committee reports.
Oh, okay. Alana?
Went to the TAG meeting. Sweet from MoDOT went over the projects they planned to focus on. Their sanding equipment was being taken apart during the meeting. A little too soon. So that was the end of that. Sweet will be retiring this year as of June 30th in a couple of months. And the county was not present to update anything, and TAG's next meeting will be May 20th. Then I went to the LEAGUE meeting. Basically, all that came out of that was that the county was making progress on petition for the file green. Is there anything else that I missed in the LEAGUE meeting? Should be reported. Okay. So that was
all right. Okay, thank you. So we have the Commissioner John Thomas. So when he gives his report on the
Planning Commission. On the Planning Commission had a meeting on the 21st. And it was a 2.5 hour meeting. I think I promised someone that would be the longest one of the year. Hopefully I can make good on that promise. There is a tremendous amount of work that is going on this first year. I actually thought I knew a little fragment about planning until this commission. And I discovered that I do know a little fragment about planning. The rest of it, hopefully I'll learn in this next year. We are moving forward to the zoning ordinances within this next year. Those will be in place. The training continues, and we are still needing a fifth commissioner. We're making efforts with the neighborhood naming contest next Saturday, May 8th. Saturday after next. If anyone would like to please volunteer, we're going to do some handouts, the naming your neighborhood contest. This, on the surface, keep in mind that this little contest is a lot more deeper and far reaching than just naming the three neighborhoods. One of the main objectives in this is to get people involved with their new city. So we're going to go out there in the trenches where they live, handing out and talking with folks and getting them involved with the city. One of the effective ways to do that is to get out there where they are. We can invite them in here month after month after month. When we see the same folks in here, and you same folks, please don't stop coming. We need you here. But we need more involvement. And we need more volunteerism in these committees. We need help with the Transportation Advisory Committee. We need members from all three of the neighborhoods. 1, 2, and 3. Hopefully to have new names after next week. Mm-hmm. We need those people, and we need that fifth commissioner, very essential going into this first year of the zoning ordinance. We need that fifth commissioner in a bad way, and we can't wait a year to get that person. So please help us with that, and we're well on our way to establish a new planning department. It's an exciting time for the planning.
So have we gotten any submittals for the contest?
One.
Oh, I heard three.
Good, I like three better.
Do we have three?
We don't have one, don't we?
Yeah.
We've only got one at City Hall.
I had one, but mine didn't qualify. But there's three
neighborhoods.
One, three submittals.
Well, I heard three, but maybe
okay.
More.
No,
we have one. That's it.
I heard about one that's coming in, so that would be two.
Nice.
Again, that May 8th date is a last-minute push, of course, because May 15th is drop-dead time. So that May 8th is the time when it would be the last-minute big push to get the people involved. And again, not just name the neighborhoods, to get them involved in the city, get them to meetings, get them to volunteer for committees. Talk to one individual, this is a little bit off subject, I apologize. Talk to one business owner, long time business owner in this town, that his attitude was basically that, nothing, you know, I've been president of this, secretary, treasurer of this, and all this for many, many years. Nothing ever comes of it. I think we have a challenge in the next few years to destroy that perception. And one way that we can do that is to actually start getting some work done out in the field. I mean, I don't care if it's grading one road, half of a road, and chip sealing it. I mean, I'm being honest with you folks, we've got to get something tangible done. We've had enough meetings. It's time to take some of that budget and get something done. Mosquito abatement, that's fine, but the little critters just keep coming back next year. One half of a road asphalted will last 10 years. Something very, very critical. Not on my mind. Apologize. I'm done.
Okay, now we have staff comments.
Can I amend my report for just 1 second?
Yes.
Yeah, we are advertising for additional committee members for the committee. And the advertisement went out, I talked to Juan about this, for one position. I think that 4 positions vacant on the utilities committee. And we have one applicant that I think you can discuss at the next meeting, and that's
okay.
Ken Selbank.
Wonderful.
Who said he would be willing to serve on that.
We also have another planning commissioner who is interested.
Yeah. Now, the planning commission member, are they going to be a voting member or an ex officio member?
A voting member.
So we've got three positions.
That particular position also has to be a city resident.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks,
John.
Stephen, I'm sorry to interrupt, but didn't you get appointed at the last planning commission meeting or get recommended for the council to appoint you?
Or the
to the utilities committee?
Transportation.
Transportation. Oh, it was Virginia Klassen.
Virginia Klassen, a member of the planning commission, has been appointed to the Utilities Committee, Virginia Klassen.
Okay, great. Okay, now we'll have staff comments. Patty?
I have nothing, thank you.
Luana?
The advertising for the city manager administrator is out. The road work RFP for the Kegel subdivision road work is out, and the Kegel road work was started yesterday and should be done today. So
with the crowning?
No, that was adding gravel onto Kegel Road, 3 inches of gravel.
Did they crown first?
Pardon?
Did they crown first?
They were supposed to it.
I hope so.
That's part of what. Yeah, they were supposed to put the ditches in at
Was the wording just to county standards? If it's to county standards, then I mean, was that in the contract somewhere to county?
Why are you in the middle of writing up the RFP?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's supposed to be to the specs that we requested in the RFP. Anyway, that's my report.
Thank you. So we'll have council comments. Don?
You call on me first?
Yes.
He's not used to being first.
First of all, I'd like to compliment you on how
Well, this meeting went tonight, being as you were dumped into the chair.
Thank you.
And thank you for accepting and doing it. Otherwise, I don't have a whole lot. I think that from what I've been able to see since I've been on the council, we've accomplished a lot. We may not have a lot of things that you can see, but I think we've got a lot in the works and a lot planning, and I really think that we're on the right road. We're going to get there.
I think so.
Thank you.
Okay, I do have a comment for the record. Okay. I have been monitoring legal expenditures for several months, and in my opinion, I think that they are out of control. I will be voting no on any payments I conclude as excessive. I feel it's the staff's responsibilities and should be their goals to eliminate these extraneous charges.
Okay, I'm finished.
I agree with you. I have no comments.
Is that an official agreement for the record?
Yes, I do. It's official. I agree.
Okay.
And yes, you've done a very good job tonight.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You've got a lot done.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Official move.
I'll second it.
Meeting adjourned at 8:06.
Very good.
Very good. Very good.